News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathik Ritsen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi, BJP ministers Ashwini Vaishnav and Prahlad Singh Patel and political strategist Prashant Kishore were among the potential targets of surveillance through Pegasus, an Israeli spyware, according to news website The Wire. The website is part of a 17-member consortium that acted as media partners to an investigation by Paris-based non-profit organization Forbidden Stories and rights group Amnesty International into a leaked list of over 50,000 phone numbers across the world that are believed to have been the target of surveillance through Pegasus. More than 300 verified mobile phone numbers, including of two serving ministers, 40 journalists, three opposition leaders, and one sitting judge, besides scores of business persons and activists in India, were possibly targeted for hacking through the Israeli spyware sold only to government agencies, the International Media Consortium reported on Sunday. The government, however, dismissed allegations of any kind of surveillance on its part on specific people, saying the report has no concrete basis or truth associated with it whatsoever. The Wire reported that amid the West Bengal Assembly elections held recently, Prashant Kishore's phone was hacked using Pegasus. The mobile number of Trinamool Congress MP Abhishek Banerjee, nephew of West Bengal CM Mamata Banerjee, was also a potential target for surveillance by a government client of NSO Group, the report said. Banerjee's personal secretary also figures on the list. On April 28, only a day before the final phase of voting in West Bengal's 8-phase assembly election, Amnesty's forensic research discovered indications of infection on Kishore's phone. Pegasus is sold by the Israeli company NSO Group, which says it only offers its spyware to vetted governments. Pegasus was in the news in 2019 when it was found that spies used the spyware to hack into phones of roughly 1,400 users around the world. Including 121 Indians. At least two mobile phone accounts used by Congress leader Rahul Gandhi were also listed as potential targets, The Wire reported. Five of his social friends and acquaintances' phone numbers were also added to the list of targets, none of whom are involved in politics or public affairs. The phone numbers of Ashwini Vaishnav, who was recently appointed the Minister of Communications, Electronics and Information Technology, and Prahlad Singh Patel, Minister of State for Jal Shakti, were also among the verified Indian numbers listed as potential targets for surveillance during 2017 to 2019. The list, according to the Wire report, also featured the personal secretary to Vasundhara Raje Sindhia when she was the BJP's chief minister in Rajasthan, and Sanjay Kachru, who worked as an officer on special duty for Smriti Irani in her first years as a union minister in the Modi government from 2014 to 2015. The report said some junior politicians linked to the centre's ruling Bharatiya Janata Party and Vishwa Hindu Parishad leader Praveen Togadia too featured in the database. IT Minister Vaishnav, however, said in the Lok Sabha on Monday, the first day of the monsoon session, that a highly sensational story was published on Sunday night. He said many over-the-top allegations had been made around this story. Honourable Speaker, sir, the press reports have appeared a day before the monsoon session of Parliament. This cannot be a coincidence, he said in the House. Vaishnav pointed out that in the past, similar claims were made regarding the use of Pegasus on WhatsApp and that those reports had no factual basis. The presence of a phone number in the data does not reveal whether a device was infected with Pegasus or subject to an attempted hack, he stressed. Therefore, the report itself clarifies that presence of a number does not amount to snooping, he said. He also pointed to NSO's reaction to the controversy. NSO Group believes that claims that you have been provided with are based on misleading interpretation of leaked data from basic information, such as HLR lookup services, which have no bearing on the list of the customer's targets of Pegasus or any other NSO products, he quoted a company statement as saying. Vaishnav stressed that NSO has also said the list of countries shown using Pegasus is incorrect and many countries mentioned are not even our clients. It also said that most of its clients are Western countries. In India, there is a well-established procedure through which lawful interception of electronic communication is carried out for the purpose of national security, particularly on the occurrence of any public emergency or in the interest of public safety by agencies at the center and states, Vaishnav said, adding that there was no substance behind the sensationalism. In a CNN News 18 exclusive, Indian intelligence has found direct footprints of banned terrorist group ISIS in Jammu and Kashmir, with the arrest of one of its founding members, Qasim Khorasani, and two of his associates on Monday. The Indian intelligence agency has been diligently tracking their movement for the past 1 year. In April 2020, Umar Nisar Bhatt, aka Qasim Khorasani, one of the founding members of the ISIS module in Jammu and Kashmir, also involved in recruiting IS cadres there, was identified by Indian intel agencies on a messaging app. Khorasani, who was earlier thought to be in Khorasan in Afghanistan, was later found to be based in Achabal, a small town in Anantnag district, with the help of Indian and foreign agencies, chatting with group members on Telegram about the production and circulation of the magazine Swat al-Hind, or Voice of Hind, which would propagate the idea of Vilayat al-Hind, or Islamic State province, in India. Vilayat al-Hind was established in 2019 in May to focus on India-specific activities. The idea behind its formation was to incite Indian Muslims on the Citizenship Amendment Act, avenge the Babri Masjid demolition, and atrocities in Kashmir. It has praised highly Indian fighters in Khorasan, Syria, and Iraq, and Indian Mujahideen for carrying out attacks in India. The platform also invoked Ghazwa-e-Hind, which means holy war against India. According to Ghazwa-e-Hind, forces from Syria with black flags will come marching towards India and will conquer the country and convert it into an Islamic state. It started Swat al-Hind magazine in February 2020 under the guidance of Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant Khorasan handlers. So far, 17 issues of the magazine have been released. The first issue was launched on media channel Al-Qital and pivoted around the idea that nationalism was a disease. It also strongly condemned the Citizenship Amendment Act and targeted Prime Minister Narendra Modi, Home Minister Amit Shah, National Security Advisor Ajit Dobhal and Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath. In the same issue, they said All India Majlis-e-Ittehadul Muslimin Chief Asaduddin Owaisi and former President of Jawaharlal Nehru University Students' Union Kanhaiya Kumar, who was arrested in 2016 by Delhi police on sedition charges, were misguiding Indian Muslims. The issue also condoled the death of Pakistani national Huzaif al-Pakistani, responsible for the radicalization of Indian youth, who was killed in a US drone strike in Afghanistan. It also attacked Indian Muslim scholars Mahmood Madani and Maulana Arshad Madani. The other two arrested go with the names Tanveer Ahmed Bhatt and Ramiz London. All three are under 35 years of age. 16 people died, 3 were injured, and 4 more are feared drowned in rain-related incidents across the country on Monday, with the Meteorological Department predicting more rainfall activity in the coming days. 5 members of a family, including 3 minors, were killed when a boulder rolled down and crashed into a slum colony due to incessant rains in Kalwa area of Maharashtra's Thane district. 3 people are feared drowned in Raigarh, and a 4-year-old boy drowned after falling into an open drain in Palghar. A woman and her 2-year-old son were killed when a major portion of their house in Uttar Pradesh's Sitapur collapsed on them due to heavy rains, and a 14-year-old boy died while 3 people were injured in Sambal district in a similar incident. 3 members of a family, including a mother-daughter duo, were killed, and 1 person was reported missing after a cloudburst hit 2 adjacent villages in Uttarakhand's Uttarkashi district, while a 27-year-old man drowned while filming a waterlogged rail underpass in Delhi and clicking selfies, and a body was retrieved from a flooded underpass in Gurgaon. Also, 2 bodies were retrieved from under the debris of a house that collapsed in Gurgaon following heavy downpour the previous day. In rain-battered Maharashtra, 116 picnickers, including 78 women and 5 children, were stranded in the Kharghar Hills in Navi Mumbai due to rains and had to be rescued. The India Meteorological Department issued a red alert for Mumbai, Thane, Palghar, Raigarh, Ratnagiri and Sindhudurg districts in the Konkan region, and also for Pune, Satara and Kolhapur for extremely heavy rainfall over the next 24 hours. It also sounded an orange alert for these districts from July 20 to July 23. The rest of the state is expected to receive heavy rains at isolated places and also light to moderate showers in the next 5 days. Up north, the IMD said Delhi is expected to continue receiving moderate rainfall with some isolated intense spells till Tuesday. The city woke up to incessant overnight rains on Monday. Heavy to very heavy rains lashed several parts of Rajasthan as well, with Behror and Alwar recording a maximum of 195 mm downpour. In Haryana, normal life was hit as heavy rains lashed most places of the state, leaving roads and streets flooded. In Uttarakhand, most rivers in the state are in spate following intermittent rains over the last 3 days. In Uttar Pradesh, light to moderate monsoon rains occurred at many places over the eastern part of the state and over most parts of the western region. Heavy rain is very likely at isolated places over the state on July 20, they said. The Biden administration and Western allies formally blamed China on Monday for a massive hack of Microsoft Exchange email server software and asserted that criminal hackers associated with the Chinese government have carried out ransomware and other illicit cyber operations. The announcements, though not accompanied by sanctions against the Chinese government, were intended as a forceful condemnation of activities, a senior Biden administration official described, as part of a pattern of irresponsible behavior in cyberspace. They highlighted the ongoing threat from Chinese hackers, even as the administration remains consumed with trying to curb ransomware attacks from Russia-based syndicates that have targeted critical infrastructure. The broad range of cyber threats from Beijing disclosed on Monday included a ransomware attack from government-affiliated hackers that targeted victims, including in the US, with demands for millions of dollars. U.S. officials also alleged that criminal contract hackers associated with China's Ministry of State Security have engaged in cyber extortion schemes and theft for their own profit. Meanwhile, the Justice Department on Monday announced charges against four Chinese nationals who prosecutors said were working with the MSS in a hacking campaign that targeted dozens of computer systems, including companies, universities, and government entities. The defendants are accused of targeting trade secrets and confidential business information, including scientific technologies and infectious disease research. Unlike in April, when public finger-pointing of Russian hacking was paired with a raft of sanctions against Moscow, the Biden administration did not announce any actions against Beijing. Nonetheless, a senior administration official who briefed reporters said that the U.S. has confronted senior Chinese officials and that the White House regards the multinational shaming as sending an important message, even if no single action can change behavior. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.